Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Jesus is a heartbeat. The blood inside of my body. The life inside of my body. Follow me everywhere I go.
Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Good evening, and welcome to Kingdom Empowerment Radio. My brothers and sisters, this is your host for this evening. As always, every second and fourth Monday of each month, this is Chaplain Kevin Graves with you. It is a pleasure and it is an honor to be with you, and we're going to do part two of the topic that was discussed in my previous segment, which was, what does God require man to do to have a healthy marriage? What does God require man to do to have a healthy marriage? Now, when we say a require man, we're speaking generically. So this applies to both genders, both male and female. In the last segment, the focus was on men. This segment will be focused on the women. To recap what I had gone over in the previous segment, dealing with what men are required to do to preserve and to maintain or to have a healthy marriage, I spoke about some key bullet points. One was honoring and loving covenant. A man must honor and love covenant. He must love the covenant of marriage. He must value this. He must value his wife. And in so loving and honoring and valuing his wife, he must communicate with her. He must pay attention to her. He must be in tune. He must show affection. These are just some of the points that I had touched on with regards to what men are required to do. But as always, we always begin each segment in prayer. So I would like to take this time to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the privilege and the honor of coming before you, Lord, of opening up your scriptures. And Lord, we just ask that you would illuminate your word, that Lord, you would take us to another level in our understanding of scripture, that Lord, you would illuminate what it is that you have called us to do and be in this season. We ask that Lord, you would empower us by your Holy Spirit, that Lord, we would focus and keep our focus on eternal things, Lord, that we would not in any way, Lord, become selfish in our walk with you, Lord, that we would constantly, again, keep our focus on what you are teaching us in your word, and that you would keep us grounded to what message that you are sending forth in this season. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise that is due your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. My brothers and sisters, again, as always, please have your Bibles ready. Take out a pen and paper for note-taking. Tonight's segment is part two of what does God require man to do to have a healthy marriage? And again, in the previous segment, I had touched on some very key factors. And since that addressed the men, now we're going to move to the ladies. So ladies, I did not forget about you. You have a place in this when it comes to marriage between a man and a woman. And so therefore, we will touch on some very key areas that not just married people need to know, but also those single people out there who plan on getting married at some point in time. And now, some may say, well, this is a Christian radio program, so this is really a Christian matter, and this is only concerning Christian marriages. Well, no, not necessarily. If there's anybody who is listening who is not a believer, there is some meat on these bones for you as well. So please and feel free to pull up a chair, make yourself comfortable, and you're welcome to dine at our table as well. This is a message not only for Christians who are married and also Christian singles, but also for those who are not in the body of Christ who want to know what a successful marriage should entail. So that being said, I will move to part two of this segment. And I had opened with a scripture from the book of Proverbs, chapter 31, verse 30, which reads again, "Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." And let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, there are a lot of women out there, godly women, women who have been going to church and who have been obedient to the Lord and who fear God and have been wondering why they can't seem to find a mate. And they have been struggling with this, and they have been wondering why. But, you know, I do everything that you know, the Lord has required me to do with regards to obedience and fearing God. And you know, and I must say, you know, each one of us has our process to go through. And I just want to say to those women who, and men for that matter, who are becoming frustrated with the waiting process. I'm talking to those singles out there who are waiting to get married, and even those outside of the body of Christ who want to get married but have been unsuccessful in finding a partner. I just want to say to you that, again, each one of us has to go through a process, a pruning process, a process where we are being prepared for that partner. And I'd like to believe that as I'm going through this, the Lord is perfecting me, if you will. He is not just preparing me for my partner, but he is also preparing my partner for me. So this is very much a two-way street here. And I do want to touch on the definition that is being used in this particular proverb in chapter 31, which deals with virtue. The definition of virtue, I'm going to deal with the word virtuous, and again, have your pen and paper, virtuous. The definition of virtuous is having or showing high moral standards. Again, virtuous, the definition of virtuous is having or showing high moral standards. That's the definition of it, but I would like to also put in my own words what I know to be what a virtuous woman is. A virtuous woman, in my own words, is a woman of substance and character. A virtuous woman is a woman of substance and character. Her mind is fastened on the preservation and advancement of kingdom, that being God's kingdom, and also her business at home. This virtuous woman is a caretaker. She's a decision maker. And whatever difficulties she encounters, she relies heavily on the high moral standards that have been instilled in her. She is a woman who is strong, unique, beautiful, caring, loving, faithful, bold, and a teacher of the things of God. Now, if you go with me in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10, here's a question that we're still asking today. And women can ask this question regarding men. The Bible says, who can find a virtuous woman? It's a question. For her price is far above rubies. Verse 11 reads, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. One of the characteristics of a godly woman is her husband, the heart of her husband, doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Hallelujah. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now, this is a woman of standard. This is a woman of quality. This is a woman, again, that fears God, a woman who is firmly set in her belief, and a woman who is firmly set in covenant and what that means. So, yes, there will be distractions. Yes, there will be trials and tribulation, but this is a woman who is a covenant keeper. This is a woman who values her husband and will sit down and will talk with her husband and will reason with her husband. And she does not like unrest. She does not like a house that is out of order, for she is very much a woman who is a caretaker of the home, and she is also a caretaker of her family. She makes sure that her house is in order. And this is a message, as I said before, is not just for women, but also for men. And it is important that to this virtuous woman that her affairs are in order. And what are some of the attributes, if you will, of a godly or virtuous woman? Number one, this woman is attentive to the needs of her husband and children. I'm going to repeat that again. She is attentive to the needs of her husband and children. This woman personifies strength, covenant. Scripture to support that, you can find that in Proverbs chapter 31. You can read verse 17. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. This is a woman, and we're not just talking about physical strength here. This is a woman who has seen adversity. This is a woman who, in the midst of adversity, is able to say, okay, all right, we need to come together as a family and set aside a day of prayer and fasting. This is a woman who values, again, the things of God, who does not quake and crumble under pressure. But this woman is a woman of strength. She is a woman who honors covenant, and this is a godly woman. This is a woman that pulls her family together and sets aside, again, as I said, a time of prayer and fasting when the family is in the midst of crisis. So this is a woman who is a woman who loves to lift up rather than tear down. When she sees her husband come home from a hard day's work, she's there to encourage him. She's able to discern his mood. She's able to see him not just as a husband, as a father, but as a man, and to be able to minister to his spirit, to be able to look and to comfort him, to speak to him, to be sensitive to him, to lift him up, encourage him, to say it's going to be okay, we're going to get through this. There may be a time when the family is facing bankruptcy, when the family is going through a difficult time concerning children. This is when we really need to get into our prayer closets and fast if need be. So this is a woman who has discernment, who has a relationship with God, and also is able to intercede in prayer and in fasting, who is able to bring healing and even cast out demons if she has to do so in the name of Jesus Christ. So this is not some average woman here, but this is truly a woman of strength and power. This is a woman who is also trustworthy. Trustworthy. The Bible says the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. It is so important that trust be in this godly relationship. If we do not have trust, we have nothing. If we are constantly looking over our shoulder, wondering where is our husband, where is our wife, why are they out so late? If we are constantly looking over our shoulder, we are living in virtual bondage to that. We must break free. You must be able to know that you can trust your partner. Trust, and I would also say, I might even put communication ahead of, trust is, I would say one and two. You can put communication first if you want. You can put trust number two, or put trust number one and communication number two. Either way, they're very, very important. If you have doubts, if you have concerns, you must communicate. It is very important. You may be in a relationship where you're trying to do exactly that, but your partner is not communicating with you. Well, there are certainly there are counselors who are certainly able to help in the area of marriage counseling. If there's no communication, this is something that we must get to the bottom of, because this is very, very important. There must be communication in the relationship, and you must be able to trust your wife or your husband. So, again, to recap this, a godly wife or a virtuous woman, okay, is attentive to the needs of her husband and children. She personifies strength and honors covenant. And she is trustworthy. This is a woman who has the trust of her husband. Her husband has nothing to worry about. Even as couples advance in years, there's no concern about, is she going to leave me for a younger man, or vice versa? There's no doubt in his mind that this woman is going to be with him until the end, for better or for worse, until death do them part. And he trusts her. Why? Because he knows the quality of this woman. He knows the virtue of this woman. He knows the foundation upon which she stands. And, well, and then some may say, well, I thought I knew this person, but I guess I didn't. And this person decided to leave me for another man or for another woman. And I just don't understand how this could happen. We have a family together. We have assets together. We go to church together. Mm-hmm. Yes, it happens. Even in Christian marriages, there is divorce and there is discord, and we're not as united as we should be. And you know, I just want to say that, and even ask, Lord, I don't want anyone, man or woman, to make a mockery out of the kingdom of God, to make a mockery out of Christianity. And look, there are many reasons why marriages do not last. I am merely, in my presentation, providing a blueprint, if you will, providing, and based on scripture as well, what a godly woman is to be and what a godly man is to be. So these are merely examples for us to follow. The Bible gives us examples and tells us who we are to be, how we are to carry ourselves. What is the conduct of a Christian? How is a Christian supposed to act in dealing with his a Christian man is supposed to, how he's supposed to deal with his wife? How is a Christian woman supposed to deal with her husband, so on and so forth? So it is up to us, because God's word is true, okay? It is without spot. It is true. It is without wrinkle. And it is up to us to apply it. And if this word is true and we know it to be true, we must follow the word. We must follow what the word of God tells us. We have been given an example to follow. Jesus Christ is our example to follow. And in his character and in his nature, he reveals that nature and character that we are to have in dealing with each other. And many times over, in our search for happiness, we look in areas that, quite frankly, are not meant for us. As men, this is for the brothers now. As men, we are very visual. Many of us, when we see a beautiful face, a gorgeous figure, nice teeth, beautiful smile, it's like we just come apart at the seams, not knowing anything about who this woman is. For all we know, this woman could make a very good presentation, have all the outward appearance of like, wow, she's beautiful and she seems friendly, but that woman could be a devil. That woman could be a criminal. You know, all of that could be a disguise. But because we are so enamored, we're so drawn to the outward appearance, and even Scripture tells us that man looks at the outward appearance, but God searches the heart. So we must get past this. She's young, and she's beautiful, and she dresses well, and she smiles well, and she smells good, and all of these things are nice. But again, does this woman? Okay, excuse me, let me rephrase that. Can she help you to that next level? Can she push you to your destiny? Can she assist you as a helper to get you to where God wants you to be? Instead of only focusing on the outward, okay, and the attractiveness of the package, but what is inside this package? How can this person elevate me to the next level? And more importantly, how can I help her? How can I push her to that next level in God? So compatibility is very, very important. Now, you may have some Christians out there, men or women, that have married unbelievers, who have married people who are not in the body of Christ, and maybe struggling in that marriage, or maybe not so. For those individuals who are married to unbelievers, and I would, you know, encourage that, you know, continue, and I mean, this is for that man or that woman who is a believer, to continue to be Christ-like to that individual. It is your character. It is that new nature that is going to draw them, hopefully. Look, the Bible says that God is not slack, as some would count slackness. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the God that we serve is a God of love, and it is not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So it is important, even a marriage that is set up that way, that again, we continue to be Christ to that person, that we continue to serve them in spirit and in truth, that we continue to look at them as precious in the sight of God. And as I move forward in this, for those marriages, those Christian marriages that are struggling, you know, I would also say, you know, let this be a time of prayer. Now, there may be some instances where the husband and wife are temporarily separated to work out some matters. Well, if you truly care about your family and about the covenant with your wife or your husband, it is important that we do everything that we can within reason to maintain this marriage. Now, if you are in a marriage where there has been infidelity, where there has been unfaithful behavior, again, I am not an advocate for divorce. I am an advocate for reconciliation. Do everything in your power. And as even Scripture tells us, you know, as much as what will allow, you know, that it's important that we try to live peaceably with people, but sometimes peace cannot be achieved, and then steps need to be taken thereafter. You may find yourself, if you are in a relationship where it is abusive, and not just abusive verbally, but physically, economically, etc., it is important that, again, we say, wait a minute, God has not called me to live like this. I want to reconcile. I don't want to continue to live in an abusive relationship, and this goes for men and for women and also men as well. So it is, again, very, very important that we take a step back and examine what it is that we are engaged in here. So, ladies, this virtuous woman is a woman, as I said earlier, of high moral standards. This is a woman who values her body. This is a woman who doesn't go around acting like a harlot. She is a woman who values her integrity. She is a woman who also values her body. And this is a woman, again, as I said, a very high moral standard. She's not just out there and throwing herself around, throwing her body around, and sleeping with every man that smiles at her, or that looks good, that smells good, that has a nice physique. No, 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 no. This is a woman of standard. This is a woman of principle. This is a woman who again fears God. And since I brought that up with regards to harlotry, unfortunately, there are many women that feel that they need to dress a certain way to attract members of the opposite sex. That's a mistake. Ladies, it is very important, because the kind of attention you're going to attract is going to be the wrong attention. You think that, oh, yeah, well, maybe if I dress a certain way, if I look a certain way, that this will attract a man. Well, it will. It will also attract wolves. So you need to understand that what kind of attention do you want to attract? What kind of man are you looking for? Do you want a man who's going to respect you? Or do you want a man who is only going to be with you because of your body, who only wants to be with you because he wants to have sex with you? If this is the kind of man that you want, then perhaps you're on the right path. But I will say that if you're looking for a man who wants to, a man who's going to respect you, and if you have children, certainly you want a man who is going to want to respect you, and you also want your children to respect you as well. You don't want your children seeing that men are coming in and out of your home, okay? That's not a good example to leave for our young people. And so we must, again, not think selfishly in this. Not only, you know, just don't think about yourself in this. If you are a single woman and you have children, you must take into account that, okay, whoever you bring into your home, your children at some point are going to meet. And you want to make sure that is a man of character. I'm using that word a lot now. You want to make sure that is a man who is integral. You want to make sure that that is a good man and a man who loves you, okay? And if he's serious, he will also love you, and he will also love your children. So I want to say that as well. This is a very, very deep and broad subject. So, again, I want to align this with, again, a virtuous woman. Because this virtuous woman, and I get a feeling that there's a lot of women out there who do have their minds fastened on kingdom, who are strong, who are beautiful, who are unique, who are teachers of the word, but yet they're lonely, and they possess these attributes. And I want to say, my sisters, allow God to take you through that process. Some of you have been told, oh, well, wait on the Lord. The Lord is, you know, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And no doubt it is. And I do want to say, make sure that you're not doing anything that is outside of the will of God because you're becoming impatient. Remain virtuous. Maintain what God has birthed in you. Do not compromise. Yes, you may be in your mind thinking, wow, I'm getting older. Okay? At some point you may say, well, you know, you want to have children. And that all of this is good. God created us to be relational, my brothers and sisters. What you're feeling and what you're experiencing is nothing foreign. It's not strange. It's not. God created us to be relational. He created us to have feelings, to want to love and be loved. It's only natural. God is relational. Did he not send his only begotten son to come and die on a cross for our sins so that we can be brought back into right relationship with him? So this is a God of relations. This is a God of relationship. So being that we serve a God of relationship, We must have his mindset. The relationship between the Father and the Son was a powerful relationship. It was a relationship in the spirit. It wasn't carnal. It wasn't based on a set of circumstances. The Bible makes it very clear, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish but have everlasting life. So this God of relationship wants us to be happy. He wants us to be in covenant. And not only men and women coming together being married, but doing his will. That when we marry, we're not marrying because, look, I got married because I want to have sex. Look, that's a part of marriage, but it should not be the end all be all. Why do we get married? We get married, why? Because this Christian walk can be very lonely at times. Maybe God has called you to be single. He hasn't called me to be single. I haven't heard that message. So we have to be very honest with ourselves. And some of us, we have that type of grace where he's called you to a ministry of singleness. God bless you. But for those who have issues and want to get married, issues, when I say issues, I'm talking about issues of self-control, not saying that that's my case or anyone else's case, but better you should partner yourself or marry, as the scripture says, than to burn. So we are relational beings. God created us this way. And it's important to realize that, and that when you do connect yourself with someone, that you make sure that that person, okay, is number one, the type of helper who can help push you into your destiny, and you can help push them as well, that you're working. It's not 50-50, by the way. It's 100-100. We hear that a lot. When marriage is 50-50. No, I think it's 100-100 in my opinion. In my opinion, it's 100. You give 100%, and your wife gives 100%, or your husband. So that being said, I do want to open up the phone lines for any questions or comments on this subject. The topic, this is part two of what does God require a man to do to have a healthy marriage, part two. If there's any questions or comments regarding this, please feel free to call, or you're on the air.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hi, God bless you.
God bless you.
It's a question and a statement. Time is more sustainment.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
Okay. No, it's a question.
I can't hear you too clearly. Breaking up a little bit.
How about now? Is that okay?
Oh, yes, that's much better. Thank you. Thank you, woman of God.
Okay, well, I have a question and a statement.
Okay.
What I wanted to share is when we look at the modern day church today, there's predominantly women within the church, and not as much men. You know, when you consider the ratio, it's 10-1. And this is just a reference that I shared about there are some women and men becoming impatient, and you know, they're making decisions. Sometimes it's not the best decisions they make, and as a result, they're less paid. However, I would say that we should be at all times.
Woman of God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. You're not coming in all that clear.
Okay. I'm going to connect them.
Okay. Okay. I guess it was a little technical difficulty. I did hear some of what the woman of God was saying. she spoke about the ratio of men to women within the body of Christ. And because there aren't that many men in the church, I guess what she was saying, women have a tendency of maybe going outside of the church. I hope I'm on target.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, okay, yes, yes. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, I'm God. Okay, can you hear him now? Hello, is it there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, that's much better.
Okay. No, what I was sharing is that, not sure if you heard the first part, but I'll repeat it for those who may not have heard. You mentioned something in reference to that there are some people that have become weary and tired of waiting. And there's individuals that always hear, you know, wait on the Lord. Now, I just wanted to kind of have a question and a statement in reference to that. What I was saying, that when you look at the modern day church, that the ratio from women to men is 10 to 1, really. I don't know the statistics, but it's just based on observation. Women totally outnumber men within the church. And, you know, as Christians, especially Christian women that are virtuous, you know, we're taught to wait on God and to be found, which I definitely do agree with. However, there are many, many women that have done all the right things, but still having difficulty being found. Now, they're told, well, just to wait on God and wait in the church. But what we're seeing more so is that they've been waiting for a long time. They've been waiting 10, 15, 20 years, even more, and no one shows up. Because what's happening is that majority of the men that do go to church are men or men. And then there are some, very rarely, that there's a single man that does come into church, and does come into church. Then, you know, he has all these choices where he chooses from. And it's almost like a lottery. It's like everyone hit that pot, you know. To the point where something becomes unrealistic for some. And as a result of that, there are all these women having a catfight over this one particular man that is single. And it makes it more difficult for him to have to make a decision. And then you also have the other dynamics where there are people who are privately living a double life. They same sex, right? Those who are homosexual. So for those women who are virtuous, the proper story of women doing all the right things, they're saying, okay, God, are you not answering my prayer? What do I? And they're constantly hearing, wait on the Lord, be a good person. And so now years have gone by and elapsed, and still they have not found anyone. So my question, but it's also a statement, we wait on the Lord, or is it also about pushing? Because I believe that the church has an ideology that we should stay and wait in the church. And I don't think that's the question, I'm just pointing something out, that we should wait in the church, but we were so very predictable in how we do things. And sometimes God may not even bring yourself in the church. They may show up somewhere else geographically. You know, so you're really hearing, wait. And if you don't find interest, or they don't find you interest, rather, you hear the critics, or you hear the opinions of people who can't be of God.
The connection's very it's starting to lose you again. Still having some difficulty. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
That's better.
So thank you about that. Thank you for that. And also the other thing is that, so, you know, many people are waiting. And then also the other aspect that we have to that is that there are But there's a lot of people waiting and they're still not being found. Oh yes, and the other point that I wanted to make is that they're saying that you can't be unequally yoked with the unbeliever, right? But then what's happening is that there are a lot of people within the church that you can still be unequally yoked with.
Mm, true.
They can be saved but not compatible.
Correct.
They can be in church but still not be saved. So not because they're in church doesn't mean that they're saved. So what happens is that a lot of people, maybe that man or the woman is in church, and they say, well, wow, this must be my spouse because they go to church. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the church is in them. So now they are married, and then they find out that they're unequally yoked, in spite of them even both being saved.
Mm.
So, you know, sometimes people say, well, you're an unbeliever. But then you have people in the church still an unbeliever. When they go to church, and other people say, well, they're in the spirit. But sometimes people don't find that out until afterwards. Because you can be married to a person for 20 years, and then all of a sudden they change on you.
Mm.
Okay, so please tell me what you think about that. I'm sorry for taking up so much time.
No. Thank you. No, thank you, woman of God. That was much appreciated. And you're right. I don't like giving religious answers. I mean, I've been known to do that in the past. But sometimes religious answers aren't always the best answers. I guess it's a way of telling people, I guess, what they probably need to hear. But sometimes, just keep it real with me. What's going on here? I do love to look at it another way. If I have a desire to get married and I'm in the body and Lord, I'm serving you faithfully and I've been a humble servant, a follower. I've kept all your laws and precepts and I've followed the guidelines. But it just seems like my prayers are not being answered. I'm going to actually use a scripture where the Lord says that his thoughts and ways are not our own. And I know that scripture, and that may not be what a lot of people want to hear, but we don't understand what God is doing in our lives at this season, at this point in time. Perhaps if, we got married, perhaps if we found that person, perhaps that helper would distract us from kingdom purpose. So so is God blocking then? So you could look at it in that sense, but when we are set apart, that means we're not like any other. That means that, Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, there's a reason why I'm single. There's a reason why you have me by myself. As difficult as it may be for me to come to grips with that, because I want to get married, and that woman may want to have a husband and a family, but we have to understand those things are good. Those things are good. There's nothing wrong with that. But we also have to understand something else, that we are sons and daughters of the Most High, that he has us on assignment, and he's very jealous. He gets jealous because his word says so. And he does not want us to get married, forget about him, stop praying, focus on that husband, focus on your children, focus on your family, and then you forget about him. You don't make time to pray. You don't make time to fast. Now that you have a husband and you have a family, it's like all of a sudden you have taken your relationship with God and you put him in the closet. You've made him secondary. So for all of those individuals out there, there are people out there like that. They say all the good things, but the minute they get that blessing, they forget God. He's not forgotten you. Your Savior, your God, your Deliverer knows you better than you know you. But Lord, I wouldn't do that. You can say that all you want, but God knows. So he says his ways and thoughts are not our own. So are we to wait on God? Yes, absolutely wait on him. Absolutely. Now, as I'm going about my normal responsibilities of earthly assignment and kingdom assignment, and you should happen to meet a person, for women, a man, for men, for women, a woman, and you meet that person and you say, wow, you know, I connect really well with this person. I like them. I like how we seem to connect and we seem to be going in the we're going in the same direction and there's a real kingdom connection. It is yes, I like it. Get to know that person. Some people say, oh, well, and I got to be careful when I say this too, to be fair. There are people that say, well, the Lord revealed to me that I'm your husband, or the Lord revealed to me that I'm your wife. Okay, but he didn't reveal that to me. And we have to be very, very careful that because of that desire that we say, okay, she's gorgeous too, and he's handsome too, and the Lord said, okay, well, maybe this is my blessing. Maybe this is it. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's a trap. Maybe it's deception. Maybe it's an assignment to derail you from your purpose. Because that desire to get married is there. That desire to want to connect, to want to have a helper is there. So the average said, okay, so-and-so want to get married. Okay, all right, good. We'll send one of our messengers. So we have to be very, very careful that we are not derailed, that we are not in any way delayed, that we are not in any way hindered because of that desire to want to get married. God loves marriage. He honors covenant. Yes, and he says, the Bible tells us this. Right. It says, tells us like when a man leaves his father and mother, right? Okay, when a man leaves his father and mother, what, he is joined to his wife? Wife, not wives. And the two shall become one. So God honors covenant. He honors a man leaving his father and mother and finding a wife. He values the institution and the holiness and the covenant of marriage. But it's not that we become so hungry for it that we begin to act out of character and to go into places where we're not supposed to be. Now, for that, now the sister brought up a very good point with regards to men who are coming to churches for the very first time, where it's predominantly women, and women begin to see a man and they come in and they begin to it's like a bunch of dogs that are, you know, you toss them a bone and then they start fighting for it, you know, and it's like, hey, you know, I mean, you know, pardon the analogy there, maybe it's not a good one, but it's similar to that in a sense where now they're flocking and they're pulling. Oh, and one sister has one arm and another has the other arm and they're pulling. He's mine. And this is all a distraction. Ladies, calm down. Well, the ratio is disproportionate.
It's
disproportionate. And there's more women and these are women who are probably getting older. Or these may be women who have children and who are alone and they need, you know, not that they're looking for a man to help them with their kids, but in some cases there are some people that do marry for that reason. Let's keep it real. And you don't need a man to help you raise your kids, okay? Ladies out there, because I was raised by a single mom and yes, it certainly helps to have a father there, a male figure there. That's very, very important to the upbringing of those children, no doubt. No doubt. So single women can raise kids on her own. And not only that, to be successful. So I am a supporter of the father and the mother being there, and also if they're single moms or single dads raising kids, God bless them. Lord, empower them, strengthen them, Lord. Give them wisdom in their dealing with children, Lord, and help them along the way. So, yes, my sister, it's a problem. It's a problem. The numbers are disproportionate, but at the same time, we can't forget kingdom purpose. We can't forget why we do what we do, why we come together, why we worship, why we pray. Our mindset, yes, should be on kingdom business. And as I said before, yes, God has created us to be relational. And as you go about your routine, you're going to come in contact with members of the opposite sex, and perhaps there's opportunities there. Perhaps you connect with someone. Now, there is no perfect man or woman out there. I'm going to say this again. There is no such thing as the perfect man. Women, get it out of your heads. It doesn't exist. You are going to if you marry, you will marry a person who is flawed. He is not perfect. Okay? When he wakes up in the morning, he may not look that attractive. Okay? There are going to be days when he's sitting on the couch, right, and he got his T-shirt on and it has stains on it, and you walk through the door and you say, okay, I didn't see this one coming. So there are going to be times when that man is not going to be attractive. Yes, he may drool when he wakes up in the morning. He may have stuff in his eyes when he wakes up in the morning. And fellas, by the way, same thing. She's not going to look. She's not going to have her makeup on when she wake up in the morning. She's going to look like a woman who just got up out of bed. And she's not going to be attractive. Okay. So, and she may have, right, and have her scarf on, too. I just thought I'd throw that in there. So, we can't be so carnal with this. We have to say, you know what? I love this woman, I love this man, and yes, they're not perfect, and yes, we have issues, but you know what? We made an agreement to one another, and we're going to work out our differences, we're going to work out our shortcomings as a family, and we're going to sit at this table, and we are going to pray, and we are going to fast, and we're going to come against any demonic assignment that wants to bring confusion, that wants to bring any sort of division within the family. We come against it in the name of Jesus Christ. So that is an example of what a godly family has to do and must do and should do to maintain. So with that being said, I don't know if the sister's still online. I hope I answered her question. It's now 7:58 p.m. I have approximately about maybe 1 or 2 minutes left. Sister, if you're still on the line, I hope I answered your question.
Yes, amen.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So the virtuous woman is not a dinosaur. She's out there. There are a lot of men who are probably wondering, who is this virtuous woman, as the scripture says? Where is she? And likewise, there are women who are saying, where are the good men? Where are the men of high standard and quality, whose eyes don't wander, who are not all over the place, who are not having sex with every woman they come in contact with? Where are these men? Likewise, men are saying, where is this woman who is strong and unique and beautiful and faithful and loving and caring? Where is she? Where are these women who are not only, you know, out for what they can get, or who only care about substance and not, who only care about material, excuse me, and not the substance that is within? Because there's some good brothers out there that may not have it all together, but they are of substance. These men will love you. They will care for you. They will come home to you. You won't have to worry about them. They're out there. I don't know what the numbers are. I've not taken a survey. But they are out there. men and women. So, in closing, my brothers and sisters, it is important that we allow God to be God in our lives and allow God to work us through our process to prepare us for that helper who is to come, and to allow God to do what he's doing in our lives in this season so that we are not derailed or distracted from his purpose. So, yes, marriage is a good thing. We honor it. But at the same time, also honor who God has called you to be. So, virtuous woman, God bless you. You're out there. The Lord loves you. Remain virtuous. Remain focused. Do not compromise who you are. Do not lower your standard because you have a desire to get married. You have a standard and a godliness about you and in you that you should never, ever compromise for no man. Or for no material thing. Do not compromise who you are, virtuous woman. God has his eye on you. He loves you. He's watching over you. As the scripture tells us, he will sanction angels around you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So God is watching over you, virtuous woman. Continue to live a life that is God-honoring. And in due season, God will bless you. Man of God, maintain your standard. Do not settle for less. You are a man of God. You are a man of covenant. You are a man who loves the things of God, who honors the things of God. Do not lower your standard. Do not diminish who God has created you to be because she smiles nice. Or because she has a great figure. Maintain that standard that is within you. Discern, yes, for men and women. Yes, we need discernment. Lord, if we lack discernment, Lord, we ask that, Lord, you impart in us a spirit of discernment to discern these demons, to discern what Satan is trying to bring in our path, to distract us, to get us in, to marry someone who In essence, will delay or distract from kingdom purpose. So we come against those marriages that Satan wants to establish in his kingdom to bring about distraction. So we cancel and dismantle and destroy every demonic marriage, even those who are married. To who have husbands and wives when they dream at night. We break every covenant of incubus and succubus spirit in the name of Jesus. These spirits, research them. They will not allow you to get married. Why? Because they are married to you in your dreams. So we break and destroy every assignment of incubus and succubus spirits that who you are married to, who you have established a covenant with, and we dismantle every assignment of Satan and the spirit against you from getting married in the name of Jesus. Yes, it's spiritual too. It's not all natural. So, address that. Say, Lord, why is it taking so long? If it's spiritual, Lord, if it's a spiritual, Lord, reveal it. Reveal it. Because as I said earlier, these demons who masquerade and who look attractive but are demons if you uncover them. So that's for those who are dreaming and who are having intercourse or who are being raped in their dreams. Google what I'm saying. This is real. This is not something I made up. This is real. So there are assignments that are in place to keep people from getting married. Understand that. So to the men and women of God who are happily married, who are in godly marriages, God bless you. And I pray that those marriages will continue. In Jesus' name, that those marriages will continue to bring honor to God. Thank you, Dr. Ganny, for Kingdom Empowerment Radio, and thank you to your husband as well for allowing me to be a part of Kingdom Empowerment Radio. It is truly a blessing. Again, this is Chaplain Kevin Graves, and I'm with you every second and fourth Monday of each month. It is a pleasure being with you, and thank you, woman of God, for calling in. It's always a pleasure hearing from you, your comments, questions. Again, God bless you. God bless your ministry. And again, this is Kevin Graves on Kingdom Empowerment Radio. And if you have any additional questions or comments, feel free to contact me at pkwgraves@gmail.com. Again, that's pkwgraves@gmail.com. If you have any additional questions and comments. God bless you, men and women of God. I hope this two-part segment was of help. Again, maintain your kingdom purpose. Do not compromise who you are. Do not compromise who God has created you to be for no one. You are set apart for a reason. God bless you. In Jesus' name, have a good night. Bye.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.